So I started with the science quiz for EBOS, the main motivation behind the survey. I'll show you some main features of the survey, a few cosmological results, and I'll conclude with the summary of the presentation. So in the late 90s, we had this evidence that the universe is undergoing this late time phase of accelerated expansion. And we think that the dark energy is responsible for this accelerated expansion. But there are many possible explanations for that, and we cannot pick up one of these explanations, one of these models, just based on theoretical arguments. So we need observations to probe the expansion history of the universe and to pinpoint the most accurate model of expansion of the universe. So in particular, what we need is the very precise measurements of the cosmic distances. And in practice, what you need is you need a standard ruler that has a known intrinsic size. So you can measure its size at different redshifts, and you can infer how the universe is expanding. And the standard ruler has to be expanding along consistent with the universe, obviously. Fortunately, this is provided by the physics undergoing in the that was undergoing in the earlier phases of the universe. Mainly before the last scattering surface. Before the last scattering surface, we had this coupling between the photon and between the radiation and the baryons. And if you pick up a region of the universe where you have this overdensity in the dark matter and overdensity in other components of the mass energy content of the universe, you have also that this region is also overpressured. So what it does, it emits this sound wave in the surrounding volume, and this sound wave propagates approximately at the speed of light, keeps traveling until the universe is large enough that the photon energy drops below. Becomes very small, and then they decouple from the baryons. So they start free streaming. You are left with this peak in the baryon density, a peak in the dark matter density. And what happens after this redshift? Oh, sorry. So this is the redshift, approximately the redshift of last scattering surface. And then the photons start free streaming, and you're left with these peaks in the baryons and the peaks in dark matter. And what happens in the later times is that dark matter catches up the baryons, catch up the dark matter, and you end up with this feature at the coming distance of around 150 megaparsecs, and this is what we call the baryon acoustic oscillation. So fortunately, this is also imprinted in the distribution of galaxies at the later time. So when you observe the galaxies, you can measure this scale also in the distribution of galaxies. The problem is that you don't have only one peak. Obviously, you have different overdensities, and you have this interference between different peaks, the sound waves. And you need some signal processing techniques to detect this signal. And what we use is this two-point correlation function of the galaxies. In principle, you pick up one galaxy and you count how many galaxies are around this galaxy at different scale, and you compare these numbers with respect to a random distribution of objects. So people have been measuring this since the earlier 2000s. But with baryon oscillation spectroscopic survey that was in part of the phase 3 of the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, we entered these precise measurements of the BO peak that here I'm showing a plot of the BO in the power spectrum, that is the Fourier space counterpart of the correlation function. So this is from the phase 2 of SDSS, and this is phase 3 of POS. Of SDSS. So, but there are other problems. Mainly, when you observe the distribution of galaxies, you measure redshift in the surveys. You convert this into distances, and you have that there are different effects that distort this your distribution of galaxies along the line of sight, that are mainly coming from this redshift space distortion effect that arises from the peculiar motions of galaxies. And then you have this Arkov-Pachinsky effect that is arising from the incorrect assumption of the future cosmology. So what you can, but you can use these distortions to measure the cosmological parameters. Mainly you use the rash space distortions to measure the growth rate of structure, and the dilation parameters to measure to constrain the cosmology. So Bose has done an exceptional work at the intermediate, at the redshift around 0.5 and higher redshift with Lyman alpha observations. It has measured the distances with the few percent precision and the growth rate at a level of 5% at these redshifts. But there was this redshift range left from the from Bose that ranges from 0.6 to around redshift of 2. And with the EBOS, we have tried to cover this redshift range and make these measurements or on the at those times. So it uses the same telescope as Bose. So it uses this 2.5 meter Zulon digital Zulon telescope in New Mexico. And it's a spectroscopic survey, so you are observing the spectra of the galaxies. So you have to collect the light from the focal plane, bring it to a spectrograph, and this is done by placing fibers in this pre-drilled aluminum plate that covers around 7 degrees squared over the sky, and you have 1,000 fibers, optical fibers. 100 of them are for the calibration purposes, and then you're left with 900 for observing the astronomical objects. And this is a zoom in. You have, and this is a picture of the whole setup where you have the plate is here. You are bringing the bundle of fibers to the spectrograph. So this is just one observation, 1 hour exposure. So you collect spectra of 900 objects simultaneously, but you are tiling your survey area in the North Galactic Cap and South Galactic Cap with tiling of these plates. So there are approximately 1,000 of those. So that's why it took like 5 years to complete. So yeah. So as I said, what we do is we observe the spectra of galaxies. So here I put this plot for the different type of targets. You have luminous red galaxy at two different redshifts, Michelin galaxy, and the quasar. And you identify features in the spectra. You infer the redshift, and you convert these to get a 3D map of the galaxy in the universe. But as Bill said, all these spectroscopic surveys are not just a single experiment. They are multi-purpose experiments, so you can do a lot of exciting science. For example, you can trace the galaxy evolution at different cosmic times. You can relate the Hall occupation of the galaxies into dark matter halos. You can infer the galaxy bias, how they trace the dark matter. Or you can use the Picard motions of galaxy to constrain the gravity models. But you have to face some of the observational systematics. Mainly in this case, you have this fiber collision because the size of the fibers is finite. You cannot place fibers on two targets closer than 62 arcsec on the sky. And that affects your measurements of the two-point correlation function because you cannot observe pairs closer than that separation. You have redshift failure because of different effects. And you have the target selection. So this is not set, target selection, systematics in the target selection and the survey window that can affect your measurements. So as I said before, the EBOS was based on remarkable achievements from Bose, but pushed at higher redshifts. Bose used only one type of tracers, the luminous red galaxies. In EBOS, we are using three different tracers. We are using the well-known tracers of luminous red galaxies and pushing it at higher redshift. A new type of tracer that are emission ion galaxies and quasar that are now used as a direct tracer of the dark matter density field. And these are the numbers from the final catalog that will be public soon. So we have around 200,000 objects in the sample of emission ion galaxies and luminous red galaxies between ratio of 0.6 and 1 approximately. And the quasars are around 400,000 at a higher redshift. And these are the area that this sample covered over the sky. The difference between the three samples is that the quasar and the luminous red galaxies were targeted simultaneously. So they share this larger pattern, and their coverage is almost similar. Sorry. And then you have we had these 300 dedicated plates for the observation of ELGs alone. So these are blue dots in the two galactic caps. So these are the measurements of the two-point correlation function from these three tracers. You have the luminous red galaxies that combine the EBOS sample with the CMAS, and that is this high Z sample from BOSS, high redshift, that covers from redshift from 0.4 to 0.7. And you get this measurements of the correlation function in the radial and the transverse to the line of sight direction. And you can clearly see the BO feature that is visible at these scales. And the same is there for the quasar sample, and for ELG is slightly less evident. So yeah. So now I'm moving on the results, so please, no pictures. So
Facebook is okay, just to
any kind of social media is. So these are the measurements. So you have the distance measurements at a wide range of redshifts from different tracers. The black points are from both luminous red galaxies. And here we have the combination of both EBOS and both CMAS luminous red galaxies and quasar. And these are measurements from the Lyman alpha forest that are high redshift quasar that are using this Lyman alpha absorption along the line of sight to trace the dark matter density field. And this, the measurements from the of the growth rate of structure at different redshifts. We discovered that there were some systematics on the sample of Michelin galaxies in the photometric sample of targets. So this point is maybe strongly affected by systematic bias in the measurement. But in all cases, the measurements are in a good agreement with the prediction of the Lambda CDM model with parameters from the Planck 2018 results that are these lines with the error bars. You can see that in all cases we are not far from the Planck measurements by more than 1.5 sigma. So this can give you a hint that the tension is still there, obviously, between.
Actually, there is a still 1.5 tension. Is that what that's still there? Looks like.
Which one?
The blue line, the blue ones. Right?
These ones?
Yeah.
But they are not. I mean, it's less than 2 sigma.
Yeah, it's hard to still. Yeah, but I guess it's a lot of.
Yeah. But then you have to see all of them, and maybe you don't.
When you say it's consistent, you're looking at the chi square. And it's like the PTE is fine, for example, it's statistically consistent, there's no.
Yeah. And here is the very. Sorry?
No, he's just making snide comments.
I'm just saying it's too bad. Of course, it's good.
Okay, so these are the measurements on H node combining different samples. You can see that it is still favoring a low value of H node. So the tension is still there. Fortunately or unfortunately, that depends on your taste.
The tension with the supernova.
With the local measurements of H node.
Right.
Because you have these 73.something plus minus one, and obviously they are not matching. These two. So yeah, mainly that is most of what I wanted to present. I cannot present all of the results because they are still under discussion, and they will be out soon. So it's mainly within less than 1 month. So the summary is: we use three different tracers. In all cases, we find measurements of the distance is at few percent level, precise 10% precise measurements of the growth rate over a wide range of redshifts, and in all cases they are more or less in a good agreement with the prediction of Planck plus Lambda CDM model. H zero tension is still there, and the results will be out soon. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Well, so you mentioned some problem for the emission line galaxies. Like, do you want to comment more about?
Yeah, those were mainly in the. They came out to be in the photometric selection of the targets. Sorry, let me just find the. And it turned out that we cannot use the transverse mode in our clustering analysis. That's why.
Due to a bad selection of LGs.
Yeah.
So
we tried to correct that them in different ways, but in all cases there was no way to improve the measurements and correct for those systematic. They were there in the target selection, and then after that you can't do much.
So the sigma I tension is that you don't have one?
What, sorry?
The sigma I tension.
No, I didn't put it there because those are still under.
CEO, right?
No, no.
It had F sigma
8.
Oh, F sigma 8, yes, sorry.
So the Planck, yeah.
Yeah, this is the Planck, Ebo CMAS, Ebo Quasar, and then obviously Ebo CLG, we can, and that's a little bit tricky to get there.
Questions? Yep.
Do you want to hold forth on the H naught tension?
what do you mean?
What's the
is it expound on it? You know, what should we?
I mean,
there's been an H naught tension now for 40 years.
Changed in magnitude. One.
You're answering your own question.
I mean, my view is that, I mean, since these measurements are matching the prediction of lambda CDM over a wide range of redshifts, there could be a hint to say maybe they are systematic in the low redshift measurements of the of H naught, or unless there is some fancy physics going on between redshift of 0.5 or redshift 0 that we didn't understand yet. That are the two mainly explanations that are not new from me obviously, but I'm on those lines.
The line now is that the way to solve all of this is by doing some change in the sun horizon before, like with early dark energy or something like that. So that wouldn't affect any of these.
No, because these are all calibrated on the sun horizon calculated from the CMB. So
if you just change the sun horizon.
Yeah, but it's hard to change the sound horizon.
You don't want to change the sound horizon because it works really well.
Yeah, but you can change the sound horizon, but then... Okay, and
how do you change the sound horizon? What does that BAO?
Well, the point is that the BAO, you observe an angle to this guy, right? Mm. And then you assume that you know what the physical size of the sound horizon, and then from that you get a distance, right? But then if your assumption about that physical scale was wrong, then you had the wrong distance. And so basically, that's the idea, that you could make everything consistent by changing the sound horizon. Of course, you have to do something weird in early times.
But if you have some weird non-thermal equilibrium in the plasma at the CMB, don't you change this maybe non-locally, the sound horizon, and doesn't that affect anything in the BO signal?
I don't know.
An excellent problem for you to work.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, let's thank the president again.